In Money and Markets, story number one is, it's morning in America, everything's wonderful. CBO announces deficits are coming down. We have states talking about their surpluses and how the economy is doing well. And it reminds me of a story I've told on the Salieri Report before about talking with a reporter who was covering the missing money. There was $4 trillion that went missing from the federal government during the late 90s, early 2000s. And suddenly, we were looking at huge state deficits, and just one day you woke up and suddenly the states were all fine. And I said, you know, what in the world do you think happened? And she said, you know, I think they're just taking the money they're stealing from the federal government and just backdooring it into the states. And I said, it couldn't really have gotten that bad. And then I realized, oh, yes, it really could have. So you kind of wonder, as the state's been buying these bonds, you know, whether the money is circumventing and going into all sorts of places through the back door. There's no way to tell. But what's important to understand is where the story breaks down, because, of course, where the story breaks down is the fact that we have the middle class basically disappearing, but literally being squeezed, with many people dropping out of the traditional definitions of what's middle class. So we're watching household incomes fall, household expenses rise, unemployment increasing. Behind the scenes, a new report this week that Obamacare is causing a lot of people to work part-time or not seek employment or drop out of the workforce altogether. A report in from a subscriber that their congressman is being picketed at his house over unemployment and people being angry about the middle class squeeze, but there's no reporting of it on the news. It wouldn't surprise me. A report this morning, Wall Street Journal this morning, more than one in six U.S. men aged 25 to 54 doesn't have a job, partly a symptom of slow economic recovery, and also jobs that are transforming faster than many can adapt. And I think that's very much the story. If you look at the skills needed, they don't match up with the workforce that's looking for the job. And what this all means is that a very important issue in the 2014 elections coming up this year are sort of what's happening to the middle class and government's complicity, which is enormous in this, what's happening and why is it happening. And where you see the crack in the whole story is, in fact, we see the president in the State of the Union address stand up and basically take all the many of the things he's promised that he hasn't delivered on and say, okay, I'm going to make my best effort to get these going. And on many of these issues, I've been stopped by Congress or the bureaucracy. I'm going to use executive orders to continually push these things and sort of go to trench warfare. Well, we now see the Democrats breaking rank. The first one, of course, that I talked about last week was Harry Reid breaking ranks on the trade agreements. Most Americans know that the more trade agreements you have, the more people who lose their job. So the populace is very educated about that. So Harry Reid breaking, as he did in a very public way, indicates enormous stress among the Democratic Party about how they're going to win elections. Don't be surprised to see more and more about voter fraud and issues related to the immigration package, because, of course, the party who can get lots of people moved into citizenship who will vote for them, there's going to be real trench warfare there. But to give you a sense of how scary these elections are going to get, we're watching the story, of course, of Governor Christie in New Jersey, a local strong-arming going on between him and the mayor of Hoboken. Put aside, you know, what that's all really about, including the fact that it's about a real estate project for the Rockefeller Group in Hoboken. But it's also a case study in the way that competition is turning. When competition politically turns to basically use of the criminal justice system to debate how things are done and the merits of things, it turns really ugly, because the risk of the people involved goes off the charts. Don't be surprised if this election starts to get violent. We've certainly seen a series of announcements of bankers who've been committing suicide or who I would suspect have probably been assassinated. There's no way to tell. Don't be surprised if we see those kinds of stories in the political realm during the election. If you wanted to go back and look at Sam Smith's Progressive Review website, he used to maintain death lists, watch lists for the Clinton and Bush factions, and I'm sure you can find them up on his website. What is happening in the investigation by the Department of Justice now in the Christie situation? It's impossible to tell what this is really about. But we know that Eric Holder, if you read the Dylan Reed story that I wrote, Dylan Reed in the Aristocracy of Stock Profits, Holder has a long record of implementing highly political agendas through Department of Justice enforcement. The question is, who's pulling the strings? One possibility, of course, is that this relates to the Hillary Clinton campaign. Clinton's been out making sort of early noises for 2016, but it's awful early for something like this to happen. At the same time, it takes a while to get somebody really bogged down in the political process from an investigation or prosecution like this. So, you know, there's no reason not to start early. One wonders if it doesn't have anything to do with the New Jersey senatorial and congressional races in 2014, although former Newark Mayor Booker has pretty much locked up the Senate, so I would be surprised if it had anything to do with that. But clearly, it speaks about how ugly and violent the elections are going to get, because, in fact, the one place for the middle class to express, or the American people to express this slow burn squeeze on household expenses up, income down, is through the elections. And the Democrats are in real trouble in a lot of areas, or any incumbent is in real trouble in a lot of areas, because the Congress's complicity in all of this is very, very significant. One interesting thing to watch, we've been seeing the Department of Justice settle a series of mortgage settlement cases, J.P. Morgan Chase, Morgan Stanley, lots of money coming into the Department of Justice. Will that money make its way back to the people who really hurt, or will it be used as a partisan politics slush fund on the ground? I suspect there's going to be a very ugly story there. I'm reminded, I was in a negotiation and settlement on my litigation, and one of my attorneys looked at one of the lawyers from the Department of Justice, and who was talking about how much money they could make. It was a very Sheriff of Nottingham moment. And the attorney looked at him and got very quizzical and said, but you have to appreciate that that's not the law. The law in this case is this, and you can't do that. That's against the law. And he just looked at her like, honey, where have you been? And that was the period when the word went around Washington. They started to spell the Department of Justice, J-U-S-T-U-S, just us. Anyway, whatever's going to happen, Christie, in the best of cases, is going to get weighed down. What's interesting is he's a clear, it's very early, but he's a clear hands-on favorite to get the Republican nomination, and could easily, I think, beat any of the Democrats who've been put forward, including Hillary Clinton. And one possibility is Mr. Global just wants to make sure he's got a sufficient control file, so by the time Christie does get to the primaries, it's clear, you know, that he's not going to get anywhere without Mr. Global's support. What you're going to watch in all of this is a case study that no one can get anywhere without Mr. Global basically supporting them. The complexity and the sort of corruption in the system at this point is too great. So to make it through the trench warfare, you have to have clear support from Mr. Global, and you have to be awesome at playing the trench warfare game, because there are plenty of factions who will be allowed to fight things out without Mr. Global interceding. I once did a study on the Salem witch trial to understand what caused it and what kept it going and what stopped it. And it was very informative about the use of sort of very high-risk judicial enforcement applied to sort of political squabbling. It's, you know, when political squabbling rolls into the courthouse and starts to create very enormous risk for people. And it was a very interesting case study. And one of the things I learned, one of the things that kept the Salem witch trials going, was that Cotton Mather agreed to allow into the court what's called spectral evidence, which means if I accuse you of projecting your ghost into my bedroom on Saturday night and making me kill my husband, you have to prove that your ghost wasn't in my bedroom, which, as you can imagine, is very difficult to do. So you get into these issues of evidence, which on one hand sound very arcane, but really create these rigged situations. Anyway, so the question was, if this is the case, what could possibly stop these things from happening? And what I discovered was that everyone got so busy going to court and so busy either being accused, defending, prosecuting, being on juries, going and listening because it was all so fascinating, that literally everyone stopped farming and building the local food supply. And finally someone realized, look, you got to stop all of this. We got to go out and grow more food. Otherwise, we're going to starve. And as you watch what's happening in terms of enforcement throughout the United States and the use of enforcement as a mechanism to control and engineer either the society or to fight out the politics, what you realize is the amount of money being spent on surveillance, on enforcement, on entrapment, on prosecution has literally spun out of control. And that is an enormous amount of resources that could be used to rebuild the economy or to just rebuild infrastructure, you know, or to be used for thousands of different productive purposes. And I think the question is, when are we going to get to the point where we can find a less expensive way to war politically with each other? Now, why is all of this happening now? Yes, the 2014 elections are coming, but let me tell you about what's coming that puts even bigger money on the table. And let's turn back again to what I talked a lot about in the wrap-up, and I keep talking about it. I'm going to keep talking about it all year. We now have more than 1.2 billion people and growing on smartphones and tablets. What that means is, and you're watching many, many stories about apps being used to localize searches, localize marketing through mobile phones, localizing all sorts of different apps. What that means is, as that process rolls out of being able to identify mobile phone users and aggregate them according to where they are locally, or being able to engineer payment and financial flows through mobile phones, what we're going to start to see is the opportunity to re-engineer place-based government flows. What we're talking about is a pot of money, both small business equity, corporate equity, real estate equity, that is literally in the trillions of dollars. I've said many times before, when I first got to HUD, I did an analysis of the different subsidy programs and estimated that when they had started, about 70 cents on the dollar went to somebody local, and that by the time I got there, 27 cents on the dollar went to someone local. And what that means is, as computers have been bringing down the price of everything, instead the price of government services has been going up, up, up. They've been getting much more paperful. Employment's been going up. And so you have an unbelievably fat flow of money, federal, state, and local, that if you wanted to re-engineer it for what can be done with new technology, the re-engineering potentials are enormous. Now, that is what I was working on with Hamilton Securities in the 90s. It didn't happen. And one of the reasons it didn't happen was, if you re-engineered it then without digital technology, you wouldn't have control. But now that the NSA system has been built out, we have smart meters on everybody's phones. We have all sorts of control through all the digital technology. You can proceed to re-engineer what is literally trillions of dollars of market value of equity, business equity, and real estate, and get the benefit of that with central control. And it is going to be arguably one of the greatest gold rushes in the history of North America. And so that aspect of the market is going to make federal, state, and local politics just more and more fractious, because the power of being the party in place at that time is going to be unprecedented. So expect the 2014 elections to be fractious and the 2016 to be even more fractious. So it's not, as I said, it's not surprising to see what's happening with Christie, but don't be surprised to see those elections to get violent and for the voter fraud stories to get bigger and bigger.